We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Glad to be with you again here on this edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. The fall foliage is absolutely perfect. Autumn is in the air. West Virginia coming off a bye week feeling really good about themselves. And oh yes, you get to finally, at long last, be at Mountaineer Field at Milan Pushkar Stadium with us this coming Saturday. High noon blast off as we continue Big 12 conference play with the Kansas Jayhawks coming to town. They're winless. They are struggling. Yes, we'll get into that coming up a little bit later on. But we also want to go ahead and discuss what exactly is working for West Virginia. And I do that primarily in our conversation with WVU defensive lineman, the preseason defensive player of the year, Darius Stills, which talking to Phil Steele last week on this week's edition of the podcast, he believes that those preseason accolades will hold true and through the regular season and into the postseason, where Darius Stills will be eventually the Big 12 defensive player of the year. Had a really big game, as he seemingly does all the time, against Charlie Brewer and the Baylor Bears in that double overtime victory. Knocked the rust off, is feeling really good about himself. He has a few more boxes that he would like to check. We get into all of that coming up in our interview a little bit later on. Also, we'll be chatting with David Lawrence, who's the longtime Jayhawks radio analyst on the Jayhawks Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. What is going wrong for Kansas, but also what is Les Miles doing to try to build the program? Let's take a little bit of a deeper dive, right? Trying to blow things up, do things the right way, start from the ground up. I know Kansas has primarily had a lot of junior college players in past years. That's sort of been part of the reason why they have struggled so mightily. The opening week loss to Coastal Carolina, and so far they've stubbed their toe to an 0-3 start here in 2020. But there's more to it. They do have a quarterback under center that they've settled on. We'll tell you about about that. And also Les Miles, of course, has been in the news over the last week or so with his COVID-19 diagnosis, though they anticipate that he'll be back ready to go on the sidelines and coaching come Saturday for KU. Brent Dierman is really an interesting guy, the offensive coordinator promoted midway through the season last year. I spent a good bit of time talking to David about him, his offensive mind, what makes him special and perhaps unique to some of his other counterparts in the Big 12 Conference. So while Kansas is down this year, West Virginia, yes, is heavily favored. The Mountaineers should win this game. As they have essentially every year, all but one year in the 9 all-time meetings. The Jayhawks have not won a road conference game in the Big 12 since 2008. That's a statistic that everybody knows about, and that stretch should continue. However, in 21, 22, and 23, part of the conversation with David Lawrence is about maybe what's on the horizon, some names that you might have to put on your radar and file away, which we frankly have not had to do in the past handful of meetings against KU. So things are starting to change, albeit slowly, in Lawrence, Kansas. So Darius Stills, David Lawrence, and plus we'll check on what else is happening around WVU Athletics as we get ready to welcome you guys back to Mountaineer Field, albeit at reduced capacity, 25%. And please, before we say anything else, go ahead and make sure you check WVUsports.com for all the protocols and the procedures so not only you feel safe, but that you keep others safe. We're looking forward to having you back. We're looking forward to another weekend of Mountaineer football here in the University City. Stand by. We'll get the podcast underway. David Lawrence directly ahead, and then my conversation with Darius Stills when we return right after this on MSN.
Today tastes like game day at home. Like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
All right, David, a lot to discuss here and unpack before the ball goes up at noon on Saturday in Morgantown. I guess the burning question is, how's Coach Miles doing? By everything that we're reading, so far so good. And the plan, at least as we sit here and tape, is he'll be on the sidelines on Saturday.
Yeah, but we anticipate that. And we heard from the coordinators earlier in the week, and they are both planning on that. But neither of the coordinators has been named as interims, as they just feel that Miles, who, you know, they can connect with through technology now, through Zoom, and will be there on Saturday. So no need to appoint someone else to take over for him. And yeah, and I understand he's doing well, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, and I know a lot of folks have the same fears, right, of their head coach around college football. And, you know, there have been a half dozen or so that have tested positive. And I guess you just sort of deal with it and roll with the punches. That's what we have to do, David, in the COVID era. You mentioned technology. Is that how primarily Coach Miles has stayed in touch with everybody to keep his finger on the pulse and really go on with the game plan for West Virginia?
Yes. Yes. You know, he's in contact with the coaching staff. I'm sure they figured out a way to get him in front of the football team at some meetings. So, yeah, they are not going without their head ball coach. So it's not a normal week of practice or 2 weeks with the bye week. But then again, what has been normal about 2020?
Yeah, nothing's been normal for sure. You know, what is normal, I guess, at least coming into this game, you have a pretty good idea of who the quarterback is going to be. Miles Kendrick was named the starting quarterback by Brent Dierman, the offensive coordinator, earlier today. How much do you think that that's going to help the Kansas offense, at least having this out in the public, knowing who's going to be calling signals under center as the starter?
Yeah, you know, there have been some players that had commented on that, you know, that they appreciate knowing that. But, you know, I'm not sure how many we have available. But, you know, our offense needs to have an influx of a better play. And it's not the quarterback's fault, but the quarterback has been a part of the problem, that Kansas has not been able to score the points. And, you know, Dearman, an up-and-coming star, I think, in the coaching ranks last year, really turned up some numbers on several games. And so I've got hope that Dearman can get this figured out. I mean, we are faced with a lot of young kids, you know, not to make excuses, but our upperclassmen, because the previous regime went to a lot of junior college players, that we don't have the typical amount of juniors and seniors, particularly juniors. That class is relatively low. So certainly seniors being able to duplicate this year, next year, will help this Kansas team, because we're just at lower numbers of players. And you know, to be honest, talented players, with the older kids out on this team. We got some young kids that we feel really strongly about the future of Kansas football. But, you know, it's kind of an uphill battle, but that's how it is when you turn things over with the coaching staffs. And these guys are working their tails off. But so far, obviously, if you look at the results on Kansas, that, we're lacking. We need to get better. I think they will get better. And who knows on Saturday, because, the surprise that all coaching staffs, we all know the injuries always have some surprises that we don't know about come game day. But, you know, last week, we were told that three starters defensively, you know, weren't going to be available. And I think we probably know why. We can't really say that on the air. But we were down four defensive starters.
Wow.
And the defense – and you guys love to play fast, and Gundy likes to play fast. He went super fast, knowing that we were low on numbers. They ran off 93 plays against us last week, and we had a third-team linebacker that came to Kansas as a walk-on, logged 93 plays.
Oh, my.
And, he was a battler. He was a warrior out there, but certainly not sure that he was ready for the Cowboys. But anyway, that's just it. There's surprises. You got to be ready for anything on game day. You don't exactly know until the game starts who's available on your team, who's available on your opponents.
It really is. It's ever-changing. I always say, David, right, the best ability, right, coaches would always tell you, is your availability. Well, I think that has transitioned here in 2020. Your best ability is your flexibility, because things are on a minute-by-minute basis. The heck with day-by-day, month-by-month, year-by-year. But as you're looking at it from the macro level, okay, year by year, things, at least from the core and the foundation and the youth that Kansas has, as you just alluded to, that is in a better spot perhaps than it's been in a long while. And while the dividends might not pay off immediately here in 2020, let's talk about some names and some of the reasons why. Jayhawk football in 21, 22, 23, their arrow will be pointed up, and let's get some names on the radar that Mountaineer fans better be accustomed to hearing for years to come.
Well, the first one, I don't think you're going to see him this year, but that's a quarterback. I mean, let's face it, you need to have a quarterback. It just builds enthusiasm and excitement in the community and your fan base. And Jalen Daniels, who, certainly imperfect against Baylor, but showed some signs of a very strong-armed kid that gets the ball out, can run. And he got nicked up in about the second series against Oklahoma State. And I'm not so sure that he's going to be available, and I don't know for certain, but obviously he's not going to get the start. Having that quarterback of the future is something that everyone, you know, gets to be excited about. We have a couple of receivers, Lawrence Arnold, he'll be wearing number two. We expect him to be available. Defensively, you know, we've got quite a bit of talent in the secondary. Teron Prunty is probably, might be our most talented freshman of the group, but he's – he has really been a shining star, you know, because everyone's going to pick on a true freshman out there, and I'm sure you guys will go at him too. But he's held up pretty well overall. Deuce Mayberry, another corner, a sophomore, Kenny Logan, all those guys in the secondary, and that might be the early on the area of our team playing at its best. Some defensive linemen like a 315-pound Dejon Terry, number 95. He'll be playing along with Jeremy Robinson. Those guys on the defensive line have been battling, and they're doing well for freshmen. But let's face it, you know you've arrived when you get a good class of freshmen, but you're not going to lean on any of them in particular, and you're going to redshirt most of them. That's really what you need to have, because you like to go to battle with 23-year-olds, and that it's not a perfect world. You don't always do that, but some guys with experience and have been in the weight room for 4 years. But to your point, I mean, I think that the Les Miles system and his personnel and just how organized it is, he is able to do a better job recruiting it, and Les himself really enjoys talking to high school kids, and so far it seems to be effective.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about just his mere presence and maybe flashing a national championship ring in the living rooms of parents. I don't know if he strategically would wear that ring, but I think I would if I had one. You know, there's an aura and there's a presence, obviously, about Coach Miles, and just to give Mountaineer fans and catch them up to speed on what it's been almost a year and a half, I guess, since he's been named head coach, how the entire culture and the aura has changed. And, you know, when phone calls are made to high school kids, you know, are they getting answered? Are you getting those appointments? Are you getting into the living rooms? Just give us sort of the snapshot of how the air is around Kansas football right now.
Well, and I think it is, and probably more effective in Louisiana, in Texas, and Oklahoma, states that he has been around throughout the bulk of his recruiting in his time at LSU and Oklahoma State. And you know, we've been winning some battles in those key states. So that is big. And as I mentioned before, he likes making these calls himself. He has been given the resources by our athletics director to get more people to help in recruiting, you know, the analysts that you need to get ready, people that are making it so they can use their time as far as the assistant coaches and himself to be very efficient in making those phone calls. And he's very adamant about spending that time each night on the phone and talking one-on-one with these recruits. And yes, he does have name power, you know, being the coach of a national champion, and certainly in those states that grew up around Oklahoma State and LSU.
Does that kind of surprise you, David, that a guy of his stature and where he's at in his career does enjoy still, I guess we can call it the nitty-gritty, you know, getting the dirt under the fingernails that requires building a program, making those late-night phone calls, all of the things that otherwise a coach of his stature and experience would, for lack of a better term, pawn off, and then maybe he comes in the last minute and closes the deal with some of the higher priority guys. It sounds like he is actively involved in recruiting guys that may just be long-term special teams guys and not necessarily a star quarterback, wideout, or running back.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. I mean, and I think that's where he stands out, and that's the first thing that talking to his staff that they mentioned, that, you know, that Les Miles wants to be involved himself. You know, he does not designate other people. He uses his staff, you know, to identify X amount of players out there and then puts that on his plate every night to make these phone calls. And, you know, and that's what I've heard, that, you know, his system, and of course, Neil Brown's already established that in his younger career, of just being able to utilize his time most efficiently. And everyone knows you build a team through recruiting and getting some guys on campus so that you can match up, you know, talent and numbers, which we've kind of been against the eight ball for the last dozen years, unfortunately, because we've had some staffs that have not worked out here. But we're hoping that we have put our foot in the sand and we are working and going up that hill with less miles.
So, David, tell me about Brent Dearman. If I recall, when we were in Lawrence last year, Dearman was not the offensive coordinator. However, our sideline reporter, Jed Drenning, as he typically does, he was sniffing out something, and he was able to pick something up on camera that they were in one of the games that he was watching film of, getting ready for the KU game. He said, this Brent Dearman guy. Well, as it turns out, after we leave Lawrence, there's a change midway through the year to offensive coordinator. It is Dearman. And the more that you read up on the guy and you see his fingerprints on what KU is doing, it looks all the more impressive. And he has a lot of juice in the program, and he's a pretty special guy. So give us the snapshot here on Dearman. What makes him special? What role he's playing here for Kansas Jayhawk football? What role he will be playing, and maybe for how long? It sounds like he's in the HOV lane here, maybe fast-tracking to a head coaching job.
Well, good observation by your sideline reporter. First of all, he is not the author of RPOs, but I think he has published a book and done a lot of videos on RPO, which I know that you guys use that there very effectively. But he certainly knows that very, very well. He brings a lot of enthusiasm, some confidence. His dad was an offensive line coach. It's been in his blood. It's been in his culture. He had a lot of success in younger days in lesser, smaller schools. But I remember a conversation I had. He was just named the offensive coordinator, coming from an analyst. So it wasn't not your everyday move, going from an analyst to an OC, and he was going to play Texas in Austin, in front of about 95,000. And I saw him at breakfast, and I thought, what is going on in this guy's mind? Because he is about ready to take on the Longhorns. And that's a very different from his Division III school that he was going up and competing against the previous year. And he begged to differ. He said, there's no difference. He says, going against Texas is just like, going against some of the powerhouses in his league that he faced at Bethel College out in Tennessee. And I thought, well, this guy's either got something very special or he's got a problem and he's going to be initiated in a very bad way. He put about a half a hundred on Texas that night. Unfortunately, right. The Longhorns kicked a field goal at the end of the game to get the win. But he certainly showed me that he was a special guy that was not going to be intimidated and was ready to take on the best in college football. And having said all that, his offense is struggling so far this year, but I have no doubt that he is putting together some things, trying to do whatever he can with Miles Kendrick, who is the quarterback for this week, and see if he can do something with, Puka Williams, who has not turned out the numbers that he has in previous years. We have another running back named Velton Gardner, who's also shown some signs. But our offensive line, and I'll say this about offensive lines, because I think it's probably true in the case of the Mountaineers, it certainly was with the Cowboys, they miss spring ball because that's where you work as a group.
Sure.
And the offensive line, I happened to be one back in the day, but it's really not about the individuals, but it's how they mesh together, and it's how they pick up the loop stunts, the X stunts, and knowing exactly when the guy next to you is going to pick up the guy that's slamming across your face, and then you're going to pick up the looping linebacker coming out. And that's what we're seeing with these offensive lines that have these new players. And certainly we are struggling with that as much as anyone. But not being able to work together as a unit and getting hurt by some stunts and not getting what we call hat on a hat, some unblocked defensive players, and that leads to TFLs, and that leads to third and longs, and that leads to your defense having to log a lot of plays like they have been and particularly last week against OSU.
So what do you think, above all else, makes Dearman special or a weapon, or maybe separates him from some of his contemporaries at the Power 5 level, David?
Ah, good question. I think his ability to remain calm in a pressure situation. We had a series kind of documenting Les Miles in his first year on ESPN+, and it actually showed Dearman in a lot of situations, particularly in the Texas game and against Texas Tech, which we won on homecoming, to where his ability to remain calm and make some decisions, and his likability among players and being a big supporter of them and to be able to instruct them and help them and encourage them. But I think remaining calm in stressful situations and not being intimidated, as Kansas, quite frankly, is going to be an underdog for the remainder of the 2020 season, but to be able to go out there and feel very strongly and make your team feel that they've got a legit chance to pull off the upset today. And I think that's what probably makes him special, but I'm looking forward to his future. And he's going to be, earning his stripes this season because he needs to find a quarterback, or a healthy quarterback, I should say, and have one develop for the future, and have a guy that's, been out there like Daigie has, having transferred over with a lot of experience, to have that quarterback that's been through the battles and that, has seen Big 12 defenses before, because quite frankly, Dearman's been working with quarterbacks that have not really experienced that yet.
Well, David, really good stuff. I appreciate the insight here on the Jayhawks, kind of where they are and what they've got going for them. And it sounds like at day's end, it's quite a bit, even though on the surface and in 2020, that may not manifest itself to be true. But before too long, Mountaineer fans, and I'm just trying to get this on the radar early, don't want it sneaking up on anyone. But it sounds like that they've got some really good building blocks in place with some good people and some good processes. So we're rooting for the Kansas success every day, I guess, but this particular Saturday. And we always love catching up with you, David. And we'll see you here in Lawrence before too long during the basketball season. And be well on your trip here to Morgantown. And I still owe you all of those great places to eat here in the Mountain State. So I haven't forgotten the restaurant recommendation list.
All right. I appreciate that, Dan. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, and I appreciate going to Morgantown, a beautiful place to come and visit. And I look forward to seeing your team. And by the way, your team is fantastic, what Neil Brown is doing in his second year there. Their defense is second to none so far in the conference, and a great running back and a quarterback that's taken on everything, and ability to win and turning the ball over as you did last week has been so impressive. So it will be a daunting challenge, certainly for the Jayhawks.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week, with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
Well, special thanks to my last guest, David Lawrence. We now turn our attention to a conversation I was able to have sitting down, socially distanced, over the phone with Darius Stills, who had a terrific game against Baylor, and I think he's back and ready to go. Maybe a little slow out of the gate by his lofty standards, but as Darius mentions, he's really feeling good about himself and this team, quite frankly, right now. So, Darius, for you personally, do you feel like you were maybe able to knock off a little rust and really get back to your true self playing at that elite level?
Yeah, it helped me a lot, getting the rust out. But at the end of the day, I just got to keep on getting better and help show my teammates that I can do that every week. So I wouldn't say comfortable, because I'm never really comfortable with how I play. I just always want to get better. I'm never satisfied, but just Yeah, confidence boost a little bit.
Let me ask you this then. What was different for you against Baylor than maybe the first two games of the year?
Just my preparation, you know, preparing more, recovering more, just investing more into football. And me investing my all in the football is paying off on the field. So I should just keep on being consistent with that.
So looking at Kansas, I mean, what do you got there? I know that, you know, Puka Williams is obviously very good. Their quarterback situation, yes, they've settled on at least one here for Saturday. They're going to be coming out hungry, looking for a victory. Just in a snapshot, what can you tell us about them?
Yeah, Kansas is known for playing well coming off of bye week, so we just know that we know that coming in, so we're preparing for a much better team coming in this week. So just us as a team is taking it taking the preparation very seriously, and we know that any team could be in the Big 12 can beat us, but we can beat any team in the Big 12. So in the Big 12 is up for grabs as of right now. So we just know that we just got to prepare the right way and going to practice knowing that we're going to get a good team Saturday coming up.
So those are the conversations going on in the locker room, considering just how bananas the conference is. It's really anybody's game right now. So you are talking about winning the league. Those are real legitimate conversations going on in the West Virginia locker room?
Yeah, we know that whenever we all work together and do what we're supposed to do, then we have a very high chance of winning the Big 12 and playing in the Big 12 championship. But we just got to just know that we can prepare the right way. I keep on saying the word preparation, but that's just really what all goes well. All you put in is what you get out. That's what I tell myself every single day. So we know that if we just keep on going down the right path and working hard and playing with energy how we played last Saturday, then we'll definitely have a shot of playing in the Big 12 championship and winning it.
And how much can that atone for playing hard, working hard? How much can that atone for the imperfections? Because that's what Neil mentioned in his Tuesday press conference, that essentially, while we didn't play a perfect game and there are still many things to sew up against Baylor, just playing hard and working hard can cover up for a lot of the imperfections that are just bound to occur during a football game.
Yeah, playing hard makes up for a lot of stuff on the field. You can run a play, but if you're not, football's beyond the scheme. It's beyond the plays. It's all about getting to the ball. It's all working hard and playing with energy. So we know that playing with energy and just playing the perfect effort, he said, Coach Brown says, it leads to a lot of good plays, and it does make up for the imperfections of the plays that happens. So for sure, perfect effort is. It's a real thing, so if you play with it, then good things will happen.
Do you believe that Saturday was a turning point for this team? Because that's something that in his post-game press conference after the victory against Baylor, Darius, he mentioned to me, he didn't mention to me, he mentioned to the media that, and it was one of the first things out of his mouth is, you know, I think that we're going to look back on this day in this game and we're maybe going to point to it. And I think a lot of coaches, they hesitate in saying that, hey, here's that one moment or there's that turning point for whatever reason. But for Neil to essentially come out and say that unsolicited, that struck me as really the victory against Baylor being more significant than being just that, a double overtime, hard-fought win. It seemed to carry more. Was it more than maybe we give credit to on the outside?
Yeah, we played really well that game. Our defense played with high energy. Our whole team, we really did well, but it could be a turning point for us if we just keep on playing how we played last game. So I'm not going to say it's a turning point because we have still yet to see what the future holds for us, but if we just prepare the right way and we take it as serious as we did that Baylor week, then that's just the standard from here on out.
What occurred in that game, Darius, that maybe didn't occur in the five victories that we had last year or even some of the losses where we played particularly well? What occurred against Baylor that makes it potentially that turning point, that this team is noticeably, tangibly different now than before that game?
It's us making plays and their teammates getting hyped for us. You know, when Dante had that TFL, I think the first drive or second drive, that really set the tone for the whole game. So I think just the big plays that start off the game help a team get together and have play with energy. So honestly, just somebody starting that energy. So
maybe the West Virginia is going to start to get a target on their back. They're not going to sneak up on people anymore. Do you anticipate all of that? That we're not necessarily flying under the radar. People know about us, and they have an idea of who we are and what our capabilities are. Are you starting to anticipate that?
Oh, I've always known our team as weapons. So we just know that teams that are scouting us know that now. So they know we have weapons everywhere on the field, just not the D-line. So they're going to take account for everybody in the back end and in the front end. So we just know that, like I said, we do got target on our back. So we just got to keep on playing hard and know that going into the game.
What are you noticing about yourself and your brother in particular, how teams are approaching you as the games go on, the weeks go on, the years have come on? What have you noticed about how teams approach you?
More attention. You know, Dante and I get a lot of double teams and triple teams in the game, so we just know that frees up gaps for other players to make plays. So we just know, and that's what really, I like it. You know, I like the attention. I like the double teams because that's respect. They know that they can't leave a single block. So I just know, we just know Dante and I coming in that we're going to get doubled every play, if not tripled.
For you, you have a few more boxes that you want to check here. Can you share some of those with us, professionally, personally, here with your time at West Virginia that you need to get done?
That's what I wanted to coming in when I first got here as a freshman, just leave my mark and make my own legacy. So, and I feel like I've accomplished that, but I got a lot more work to do here, and I'm going to make something happen for this team.
Always good stuff from Darius Stills. Coming up next, we'll put a ribbon on things when we return, so stay with us. You're listening to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice-cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
Hey, before we send you off, I do have to give kudos, right? And, you know, we just come to expect it. It's year in, year out. Ho-hum. West Virginia women's soccer is a top 10 team again. Yes, they're seventh in the country, folks. And really just have to continue to tip your hat to the way in which she goes about her business. We have, quite frankly, become spoiled. We have become accustomed to the inordinate amount of success and greatness that Nikki Izzo Brown's program has had, continues to have. Dick DeLess Soccer Stadium on Friday evening. They've got a big one coming up. So congratulations to the success that they've had so far. 4-1 on the year and a number 7 ranking. Baylor in town. If you can't make it to Dick DeLesk at 7 p.m. October the 16th, they've got one on our new ESPN Plus platform, so I would urge you to check that out. For all of you that are listening to this podcast, you're pretty digitally adept, or maybe even it's your first preference to consume your West Virginia content, be sure to subscribe, because there's going to be a number of men's and women's basketball games. They're going to be broadcast on this ESPN Plus platform, I would suspect, before too long, even though we haven't had one just yet on the football side of things. There could be one coming down the pike on that front as well. So Baylor is in town taking on Nikki Izzo Brown's club at Dick DeLesk Stadium on Friday evening, 7 o'clock. They're number 7 ranking. Also want to give a big shout out, right, to Reed Sunahara's club for what they did last week in Lawrence, winning a couple sets against a top 10 team on the road. So congratulations for that top 10 win against Kansas. That was last week. I'm a little late to the party on those congratulations, but better late than never, as we like to say. They, too, will be getting things underway Thursday the 15th. That game's going to be nationally televised, ESPNU. Check it out. They've got a couple of sets, again, a couple of matches, I suppose. Let's make sure they get all those sets against TCU. 7 o'clock Thursday, and then 6 o'clock on Friday. That, too, again, will be on the ESPN Plus platform. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you continue to follow us on all of the emerging digital platforms that we are on. And as far as this podcast goes, if you like what David David Lawrence had to say, and you thought that he did a good job breaking down Kansas, so you have a really good understanding of not only what they're doing this year, but what they have up their sleeve coming down the pike. Give us 5 stars, a comment or 3. Like it, share it. All of that stuff certainly helps elevate the WVU Sports platform and spread the old gold and blue good news that we have for you. Reminder, we'll be on the air Friday morning at 8:30, streaming, as you can get our game on the app and on TuneIn or a radio station throughout the Mountain State. 8:30 for the 12 p.m. blast off. Myself, Jed Drenning, Dale Wolfley with the Go Martin Mountaineer Tailgate Show. Tony will set the scene at 11, and then before too long, we'll have blast off between West Virginia and Kansas as the Mountaineers look to start 3-1 on the year. Until then, stay safe, everyone. If you're going to be back in Morgantown, be extra vigilant, right? We don't want to let our guard down. Don't be careless. Adhere to all of the guidelines, if you would, please. Be loud, be proud, but first and foremost, be safe, because we want 25% capacity to turn into 50% capacity. And then we want 60,000 plus screaming Mountaineer fans, and we want that incredible tailgate scene back in and around the Morgantown area, and that buzz that makes us one of the most unique college football programs and cultures in the United States of America. We want that back, and we want it back to stay. So we inch and crawl and fight our way back to progress. You're big part of it, and you're a big part of doing it safely. So until then, hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. Thanks for joining us on this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. I look forward to meeting you right back here at the same time, same place, whenever you like to listen to us, right here on MSN.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.